We're going to call this short meeting to order. I'm Mike Edwards of Salmon County Public Hospital District, number one Board of Commissioners. And so I can call my board to order. This meeting is in conjunction with the San Juan County Fire District, number three, and the town of Friday Harbor.
I'm going to go ahead and call our meeting for the San Juan Fire District, number three, to order at 1500 on April the 4th. And there are guests, so. Next on the agenda, we've got on the agenda before us is we probably should look or select somebody to be the chair for the meeting to make sure everybody stays on track or at least going down the right path.
So that given, I nominate Commissioner Jarman for that position.
I hear the train coming.
Yeah. Does the hospital district board agree?
I'll second.
Okay, so I have a motion. We have a motion and a second that I chair the joint meeting. Any further discussion? A call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. The there's been lots of talk in the going around about what the two boards are doing. We decided we were going to have this joint meeting. I'd just like to read a quote from one of my favorite little books to read. The name of the book is Making the Pieces Fit. It's about fire departments consolidations throughout the state of Washington. What is the best interest of the people we serve? It is very important and prudent for governing officials to investigate consolidations. It is, in fact, their responsibility to do so diligently in spending the taxpayers' dollars. And that's a quote by Jack W. Snook. And I believe that it is in the best interest. In my past, as a fire commissioner, every time a fire chief has stepped down from the other islands, I always looked at consolidation for the fire authorities to be working. It's always prudent to take a look at when a chief does step down to look at your operation to see if you're serving the public in their best interest. And that's what our main discussions will be about today. With that being said, we're going to open up the floor to anybody that wants to address both boards at this time. Try to limit your talk to 3 minutes, but if you're on track, keep on going. So at this point, the floor is open to anybody that would like to address us. Maureen.
Hi. Thank you.
Go to the podium and you'll look official.
Okay.
Is that part of the 3 minutes?
Time's up. Thank you. I'm going to make a few comments, and I made these at the last fire department meeting, but I thought this is a larger group. I'm going to restate them and hope it makes sense. My comments are that the possible merger between fire and EMS is very complicated, and it needs to be more fully understood by the people of San Juan Island. If our citizens were not following the story closely, they would have missed the report to the Board of Commissioners provided by the staff of Fire District 3. Some very, very good points were made in that report, and yet because it is directed to the Board of Commissioners, I feel it probably is a little hard to understand and maybe not fully understood by citizens who might have come across it. There are so many questions that need to be answered, the least of which is who is going to lead the combined districts should this project go forth. So my 2 points are, quite simply, we do need a clear and objective breakdown of the costs and the benefits of the merger. Residents need to understand what the impacts the merger may have on services and what the associated costs might be. This cannot be about whether fire and EMS will be better off if they merge. This has to be about whether the public will benefit from a merger and how they will benefit. My second point is the plans regarding a Citizens Advisory Committee. When I went to the first meeting, I didn't feel that it was on the agenda, but I do see that there's a place further on down where that is going to be brought up. I think this is a really important aspect of this discussion. It seems to be tantamount to any consideration of a merger. If our citizens are not included in this decision, I believe the possible merger will be met with great resistance. And if the fire department and the public hospital district and the town and county can each produce one advisory committee person, and then the remaining majority should be from the community, the citizens themselves, all of whom would be independent of any affiliation with fire and the public hospital district. So that's essentially what I wanted to say. So thank you.
So it's, for the record, I'll go ahead and state your name. That was Maureen Sees. And then do you have a written one that we can give to the hospital board?
I do.
Thank you very much. You want to give that to Nathan over there?
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you. Mr. Corey, state your name so we can get it on your recorder.
No E in Corey. Constant battle. I'm in favor of the concept of combining. I'm always in favor of making one thing out of two things when that's possible. I know it's going to be very easy for everyone involved to find lots of reasons of why you should not go forward and what will happen if you do. But I would ask you, two boards, to put aside as much as possible your own personal views and desires for what's best for you and your independent boards. And as Maureen said, let's look at the community at large. Let's look at the picture down the road. I know we're very quick and positive about how we're all unique. The islands all differ from one another. And certainly that was true some time ago, but that's really vanishing. We're really becoming one more and more. We need to become more one and another. The fact that we have three library districts, three hospital districts, three fire stations, the administration, the overlap, there has to be a simpler, easier way to do this. And I believe there is, and I would ask you to look at that. And again, as Maureen says, think about what's best for our community in the long run, not the short run. Don't get too excited about the expenses of making the merger. Look at what, again, in the distant future, what will be the benefits. As far as advisory committees go, I've served on about 16 of them in my 40 years here. And I have mixed emotions about how good they are and how effective they are. But certainly the public input is going to be the most important thing. And I would ask, as you proceed, that you have an opportunity for the public to speak before you have your discussion, and then after you have your discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dick Grout.
Afternoon.
I did, that's why we got you on the recorder, Dick.
Thank you very much, Bob. I'm going to disagree a little with Jack, but then he and I almost always disagree on things, so that's not surprising. I agree that there is potential here. I told the hospital commission at one of their meetings that I'm an agnostic about this merger. I don't know. I think it's possible. It might be a good thing. But I think what the public needs is the hard, objective evidence that it is in the public interest, that the residents and the taxpayers will be better off after a merger than they are now. We have asked the hospital commission for this kind of analysis, and so far we've seen nothing. I'm looking to you fire commissioners to hopefully be a little more responsive. I'm encouraged by what I see in your agenda, the next item on the agenda. But even in that, I see a bit of bias toward the merger. There's less objectivity there than I would like to see. We need an objective analysis of the pros and cons of doing this. But for me to support it, without that, I won't support it. And even though I think it might be a good thing, prove it to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? With that, I'd like to apologize to everybody here. I forgot to go around and have everybody introduce themselves, especially to our newly elected mayor. And so we'll start over there with Chief Creasy, and we'll work ourselves around.
No, I am Secretary Pro Tem this afternoon. This
Who typed those up?
Why, is it misspelled? I do.
I'm Nathan Butler. I work for the Public Hospital District. I'm the Recording Secretary.
Duncan Wilson, Town Administrator for Friday Harbor.
Fahad Gatton, Mayor for Friday Harbor.
Frank Cardinale, Fire Commissioner.
Albert Olson, Fire Commissioner.
Bob Jarman, Fire Commissioner.
Michael Edwards, Public Hospital District.
Rebecca Smith, Public Hospital District.
Mark Schwinge, PhD Commissioner.
Annalisa Lindstrom, PhD Commissioner.
Warren Appleton, Public Hospital District.
With that being said, we will start in on our agenda items. Discussion. Item A, potential benefits to the community derived from changes to the delivery of emergency services. Does anyone have anything that we want to discuss? Questions, answers?
Well, in a meeting that we had with EMS Chief Martin, yet again yesterday, we put together a number of talking points which he shared with the PhD for sure, and hopefully Fire District 3 Board of Commissioners. So I'll just start with the top one. We don't have to necessarily discuss all of them, but the first item is maximize effective use of SCARE resources. Perhaps the scarcest resource are the volunteered and paid on-call members. Both fire and EMS jointly respond to many of the same incidents, and both departments recruit from the same small pool of citizens. There is currently a small number of cross-trained firefighters and EMTs. Consolidation will increase the number of these cross-trained responders, and thus will increase the number of qualified responders for either fire and or San Juan Island EMS. Any comments from either board?
What do you base your statement there as that would increase the number of cross-trained people? I mean, we have firefighters, and then we have firefighters who are EMTs or paramedics. We have EMTs and paramedics who are also trained to be firefighters that are working for both agencies. Where do you see that number increasing by a merger?
Well, my take is in a consolidated group, in other words, EMS working under the wing of Fire District 3, the desirability of being cross-trained particularly would be enhanced. And I think that's something that obviously is desirable for both entities to have a redundancy of talent, so to speak, among our volunteer folks particularly.
Well, one of the things that currently fire is not responsible for EMS or EMS calls and aren't always dispatched to them. So I don't, personally, I don't see a lot of our members who would want to be cross-trained at this time or see a value in cross-training. It's not like in the paid sector where there's a monetary bump or other incentives for that. With the volunteer department, it would be strictly for their own benefit. If they wanted that, I think they would already be doing it. So I kind of disagree with that first benefit as far as maximizing our resources. I really don't think it'll make a difference. Simply because as volunteers, we are already doing those things that we're interested in doing. If we want to be an EMT or a paramedic, we go out and we take those classes and we get qualified for that. The firefighters who are not EMTs or paramedics at this time, I just don't see where there would be a incentive for them to do cross-training.
I see that our population continues to grow. Since the 40 years that I've been here, it has gone beyond quadruple the amount of people. Our in the 70s when a lot of us moved here, we were all young. Those days are gone. I look around the room where we used to have volunteers at the Cape, the North End, and everywhere on this island. I look around now and we don't have any volunteers and very few young people that are volunteering. So our group is dwindling. We don't have as big as market to go to. And I believe that if we consolidate a little bit, we'd have one market where we could go out and try to pull the best we can out of the group that we have. Volunteerism is hard to find on this side of the Rocky Mountains. If on the other side of the Rocky Mountains, the East Coast, there's volunteers everywhere. So I think that we got to take a look at, I hate to use the term market, but it's almost like the marketplace where we can draw from to get people. And a lot of times fire and EMS is combined, and that's one house to put people under. If we're going to house people to respond to things, can we have cross training so that we can respond to both items at the same time? That's one of the benefits that I see. But you know, how you get there is up for debate, so that's my opinion.
I have a question.
You bet.
So we're talking about cross-training volunteers. So this is a question actually for Secretary Pro Tem Grussi and Chief. You back here. How many times have we cross-trained the two departments in the last 2 years?
20% of our firefighters serve as EMTs currently.
How many times have we cross-trained in the last 2 years is the question.
I would defer to my assistant chief and training officer to talk about how many times we've tried to get heavy rescue training like set up. I don't know how many times it's actually been pulled off.
Yeah, I would have to go run a report. I could count on one hand the times we cross-trained. We've offered some joint trainings. We assist each other with training. For instance, EMS does vehicle rescue training, and we'll provide that training for them because we have the tools and equipment personnel to do it. Vice versa, annual first aid, CPR refresher training, EMS will bring in some of their resources to help us do our refresher training, but joint coordinated efforts, I think there's been some large scale topic du jour, FCI, mass shooter type drills, but that tends to be a trending opportunity. Nuts and bolts services, we don't coordinate joint training.
So the number was five, is that what I heard? So
I can count on one hand.
Count on one hand.
In the last 2 years off the top
so
of my head.
Let's go to.
It's gone down. Historically, we were doing heavy rescue training quarterly and invited EMS to join us. And for some period of time, EMS had a policy that every EMT needed to go through that heavy rescue training at least once a year. But that was 4 years ago.
And it said that's 40.
As opposed to 40 over here, four. Okay. I didn't hear if it's four or 40.
I'm sorry.
How many years ago that was?
Four. Thank you, yeah.
Okay. So not a lot of cross training.
No. Okay.
I would add that by combining the departments, cross-training would greatly enhanced, that we would obviously train together on a more regular basis. We certainly used to train on a more regular basis, and I think that would be a great help to everybody, especially when we go on calls together.
How many firefighters are in the current, question, how many EMTs are in the current firefighter class?
33%.
I have a question for the hospital board. You know, I've been, what little news I've been gleaning from this process, I've been getting from Bob and reading in the local news media. My question to the board is, what brings the board to us at this point, and why the merger now? What brought this on?
Good question.
financial? What is it?
I think it's some of the things we're going to talk about in terms of benefiting the community. We've just started in that regard.
Okay.
There is a financial component. Not that the San Juan Island EMS is terribly hurting in that regard, but we are low in reserves. We have significant capital expenditures pending in the next 3 or 4 years. We have a SID that hasn't been addressed yet. So are we in harm's way necessarily? No, we can react and compensate for that. But that is one of the motivations for our side of the fence, for sure.
Well, you know, several news articles were in the news media that, and I think it came from your chief saying that the reason we're looking at fire because they can collect more tax money. What was behind that?
Well, I would ask the chief to answer that. Yeah. Since you quote him. Chief Martin.
Good evening, Commissioners. For those that don't know me, I'm Jerry Martin. I'm the chief of San Juan Island EMS. And Commissioner Albert, the initial question of where this came up at was at a commissioner's meeting that we had back in October when it was asked about our reserve capital. And that's when I suggested to the one board member that what they should probably do is to eliminate my position, put that funding into the capital reserves, and then move our organization over to fire. That is the comment that was made. I've been with this organization now for 2.5 years, and this is the first organization I've been part of that's been strictly EMS. My 30 plus years has been with a fire department where it's been fire EMS. And so that's where it came from. But there had been talk for years back that why don't we do it? And again, this is a perfect opportunity for the for us to look at the best interest for the people that we serve. And to the question of the benefits of our paid and volunteers, statewide and nationally wide, volunteerism is going down. Fires are going down. EMS calls are going up. And we have capabilities here. Fire is positioned beautifully with the way your fire stations are scattered throughout the island. If we had an 8-car sitting up on the north side, an 8-car sitting down on the south side, the 8-car where we're sitting in the middle of the island, we'd do a really good service to the people here with fast service, CPR, stroke, trauma. It'll do the math, it works out good. So this is where the comments came out, and I'm the reason why we're probably here today.
Okay. I'd also like to add that we have been, when we were passing the levy, one of the biggest, most asked question was, why aren't we merged with fire? Why don't we merge with fire? That came out in 2014 when we were running all of the forums and the questions. And that was a huge question from the public. Why aren't we merged? So it sort of started there too. And then the other issue was we've been working on in EMS, the long-term strategies and long-term planning. And that's another thing that came up is, where are we going to be in 10 years and 20 years, and where's fire going to be in 10 years and 20 years, and we should probably start looking down the road, which is another reason we popped it into this time frame.
The way that we deliver services now to the town of Friday Harbor, we deliver fire services to the town of Friday Harbor via contractual services. The way that we got into that business with the town of Friday Harbor was after I was elected and I went to my first commissioner's meeting and state commissioner's meeting and started looking at consolidations, mergers, and that sort of thing. It was happening in the time when dollars were getting short. The I'm an initiative was taking place. Certain towns could not afford to have fire service. The I learned through the whole process as well, is that the towns weren't obligated to have fire service. That's what started the conversation between the town and the fire district. Albert kept thinking that I was a younger guy on the group and maybe should have just stayed on with the fire district, but we did move ahead. And I went to the council meetings when there was a new mayor. I went to the council meetings to introduce myself, to say that we're up at the fire district, we're here to help if you need our help. I went to several of the town meetings every time to talk about that. At one point under Mayor Jones, we did put together a group of citizens that went out and looked at the possibilities of if there would be any savings to the town. The turned out that there would have been a cost savings to the town. It was around approximately $186,000 in that range. That was under Mayor Jones. Mayor Jones presented to the council. The council turned it down at that point. When Mayor Locker came aboard, she wanted to dust off the proposal that had been put together by a citizens group. We dusted that proposal off and went ahead and contracted services with the town. So we've contracted services with the town. The town's serviced now by two ways. One is they pay the EMS levy so that they get service, they pay for the EMS levy. If we do look forward or do move ahead with providing both the services to the town, it would probably require the town to possibly annex at that time, Duncan, in Farr.
We had looked at the structure where the town residents currently are paying tax for the EMS service, and that's coming through on their property tax. The town residents are not taxed for fire service. That is being paid for by the town out of our general property tax. So on the one hand, in order to make any type of a consolidation work, it's probably going to be incumbent upon finding a way to actually annex the town into the fire district so that the taxation will be equal across the board. And on the other hand, by annexing into the fire district, it would increase the individual tax rate of people living in the town, so we would probably have to find a way to cut our other general property taxes in such a way that it smooths that out. And I say that without the mayor weighing in about whether he thinks that's a wise idea, but I think we've always that is one of the ways we've looked at solving the problem for the taxpayer in the town. Is that if we annex, their taxes will go up, but if we drop our other property taxes, we can smooth that out a little bit. And here's the real word.
What he said. I think people are going to be very resistant to this in the town of Friday Harbor, because currently they're being served very well, and they have no complaints. They don't see any issues of efficiency or any of the reasons we're here today are not affecting the average Friday Harborite right now, and the cost will go up to them with annexation. So we have to find a way to, as Duncan said, smooth that out and explain it to them in a way that they see a benefit, or at least they don't see a cost to going forward with the annexation.
And I guess the only thing I would add is there were a lot of people on both sides of the fence over dropping the town's volunteer fire department and annexing in. I think you could find proponents and opponents on both sides, and some were vehement on both sides. I wasn't here, but boy, could I read. And I read all sorts of things said about that situation. And I think that regardless of where you stood on it, we have learned that we were able to save money by consolidating and ridding ourselves of the volunteer department. As painful as it was to those volunteers that were extremely proud, deservedly so, of the organization they had put together. So it was one of those compromises. Nobody was entirely happy, but I think in the long run, everybody put aside a little bit of their own self-interest or ego of what was, and they did it, and it turned out to be for the common good. I can't tell you on this one, because I think there's just as many opinions on both sides, but I can tell you that it worked for us, and we're very happy now to be involved in contracting with the fire district. But we do miss those volunteers and try to honor them as much as we can. In the future, we'll be giving them a museum in the new town hall renovation. So it's still a sensitive spot for us, but at the same time, it worked out well financially.
So Duncan, with what you pay to the fire district, divide that by the number of constituents in Friday Harbor compared to what the county person would pay.
It's exactly the same.
Pardon?
That's the what we pay. That's the formula. We pay at the same rate as everybody else in the county pays. What they do is they go ahead and do the calculation of the levy, divide out all the costs, and then we pay an equal amount on a millage basis,
right,
as everybody else pays.
So then why would the cost go up?
Because right now, we are paying it on a contract basis. In other words, we're taking money out of our general fund to pay that payment.
Mm-hmm.
If we annex in,
right,
then the individual bills will be going to the individual taxpayers, and they'll be paying the fair share rather than the town paying it. So what will happen is individuals will make up that cost, and the town will no longer have to pay that cost, which is why we would have to drop our general taxation.
But the individuals, where does the money from the town come? Comes
tax.
From the individuals.
It comes from sales tax. Sales tax.
Cutting out the middleman.
General property tax.
So it's really an educational thing.
But what they don't get is the town people, because we contract, don't have a vote. The town doesn't get a vote for any of these three individuals as commissioners because they're not annexed into the district.
I think the easiest way to put it is when the town receives their tax statement, there's no line item on there for fire protection.
That I got, but they don't have a vote.
They don't get to vote for the commissioners either. They have no vote that way. So there's
not really being, they're sort of being taxed through the back door for the service, but they don't have a vote for the service.
Well, I don't think it's being backed. I mean, we have the lowest tax rate pretty much in the entire state for cities, so it's not like they're getting backdoored. But we are covering that cost from our general receipts of taxation. We take our property tax is about $480,000 a year, mm-hmm. approximately, mm-hmm. and of that we have to pay for fire service. We have to pay for the service for the fire as well. Now, if the annexation occurs, then the contribution from town residents will come directly from property tax, directly from fire district to them. And what we're talking about is, we would probably have to drop one of our taxes down to soften that blow of having to take on a new tax.
And how would that affect you?
Well, it would,
I mean,
for us.
Question for the mayor.
For us, it should. We will come out about the same. We would be about the same amount, or we would have, we'd stay a little bit above it, but not cut down entirely. So for us, our operations would go on the same way, but our town residents would then be able to vote, and they would have direct voices back to the commissioners rather than through the town.
Duncan, can you tell me, we'd probably have to lower a tax. Could you give me an example of what type of tax you would be lowering?
Okay, right now we have a property tax, a general property tax, the same way the county has a general property tax. Our general property tax is about 92 cents per thousand, and that's what you pay when you pay your taxes twice a year. It's split up 92 cents per thousand. We would then, we could, if we cut our levy dollar amount, by cutting our levy down somewhat, then that would reallocate the money out and it would drop people's rates. So we could forego with the collection of some of the taxes to offset the increased taxes people are paying by then being annexed into the district.
I just want to make sure you're not looking at something like sales tax.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, truly, property tax has always been seen as the primary location from which you pull your public services, fire, police, those types of things. And that's what we use it for. We use about more than half of it goes for fire, and the balance of it we use for the sheriff's services. Then we have to go to other monies, like the other taxation, like sales tax, to pay the balance of the...
So how is EMS paid?
EMS is a direct taxation. See, that's the difference. We're on contract with you, but our citizens pay a direct taxation with them. So we have completely different means. Whereas everybody else on the island is being taxed for all of you, we're slightly different because we haven't been annexed into the district yet. And to be annexed, not only do we have to vote for it, but those in the rest of the district have to approve it as well. So there's two votes that occur simultaneously. One within the town to annex in, and one from all the rest of the district to approve it.
And just for the town also, for the new commissioners that don't know this, the town also pays contractual services to the sheriff's department for police service. You never get the term right, Duncan.
Yeah.
but just for you guys, they pay contractual services for fire and law enforcement right now. And that comes out of their general fund as well, too.
Okay, as long as we're on the tax issue, let's talk about the difference between the hospital district and the fire district. The fire district does not include Henry Island, does not include Spiden, does not include Stewart. And right now the hospital district is collecting their EMS levy from those three islands. And Brad, maybe you could help me. Did you have a number on the difference if we excluded those in the EMS levy?
It's 380 yeah. some odd, but yeah. About 300 of that is the town. So it's roughly, if we were taxing San Juan Island, all of San Juan, Pearl and Henry, for services, there'd be about an $80,000 loss
right.
to what the PHG is currently collecting for the EMS levy.
So keep that in mind. If we're talking about fire taking over EMS, and there's no way that we could annex those islands into our fire district, because I don't think they would want to pay for protection that there's no way they would get, because there's no way we could service those islands for fire. So we got to keep that in mind too. That's another financial shortfall that would come to bear.
We might talk to council about that, because I believe that there are municipalities that are EMS and fire are under one, but they do not cover the exact same geographical areas. So it is possible.
Well, it's
to have fire cover some, but that's like. One of the things I'd like to say is that's sort of a detail that we'd have to work out at the end, not at the end, but as we go along.
Yeah, I'd like to keep us on track a little bit to continue our discussion still on what is the benefit to the community if the fire was to take on the EMS services. And then there's some other stuff in our agenda, we can get down to some more nuts and bolts. So from what I got out of our discussion, one of the main ones for potential benefits is efficiencies in the department for providing the service. And is there any other big bullet items that we should mark on that besides efficiencies?
Well, I think certainly access to grant monies as a freestanding EMS agency. We're limited in that regard, and the fire and rescue combined or not combined with EMS entities have many more opportunities than we do. Certainly there's standardization of services. Looking way down the road, perhaps developing a regional fire authority, which would be countywide. There are a lot of other entities. Rebecca, what comes to the top of your head as far as...
Well, looking at it from the whole community standpoint, one of the reasons that we talked years and years ago on the Fire Commission Board was to combine town and the district, was because it didn't make sense for the island to have two separate fire departments. And we're very small, we're very isolated, we're very rural, we're very here. So it's sort of like looking down the road 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. Does it make sense to have all these separate entities doing? We're all separate entities with separate standardizations and separate apparatus and services. Does it make more sense for us to be together, which would eliminate the redundancy of everything as a community, not just with fire and EMS?
My always main concern is, and I've been over this for years with everything I've done on this island, is providing a service of some sort. When someone picks a phone up and dials 911, how long does it take for us to get someone on that doorstep? If it's the person that's waiting on that doorstep doesn't care what color the truck is, it gets there as long as someone gets there. But if you ask 99% of the people, they're looking for a red truck if they're calling 911. I think that the efficiencies that I could see out of a possible fire district taking the EMS services is we'll all show up at least in one color truck, for one thing. Another thing that always used to be a problem on the island, and it always kind of bothered me a little bit, is that we've always had volunteer services, and when the pager does go off, we may show up with every truck we own, and a person will say, oh, why did all everybody show up? And my response back to them is, they're all volunteers, and it's lucky they did show up. So I've always looked at how can we provide the best service to the citizens, and that's what I need to be sold on, to make sure that we can do that. And it's always good to look at a possible merger. From our meetings that we've had, I've looked at, you know, Brad and I have gone through all the operations, and of course, there's always you always think there's a better way to do something, and that's what we need to figure out. Is this really going to be the better way to do things? Can we get someone on the doorstep faster and efficiently, and how can we do that? If this makes the right move, then we should look forward to moving ahead. There's a lot of hills and valleys in this whole process, so that's one of the things we want to try to work out. It's just talk about today and just keep things probably at the high level. If we decide to go forward, then we just need to get down into the nuts and bolts of things. Does that make sense?
Bob, I have a question.
You bet.
So at one of our last meetings, Chief, at the last report, EMS is well above average, I think I'm quoting you correctly, in response times for a rural district.
We're within our response time.
Where are we in that range?
I'd have to look to give you the exact numbers, but we're within our response times.
And fire?
Go ahead, Reggie. This is your chance to brag.
Yeah, we meet the standard on a regular basis. Yes.
You meet the standard. And
yes.
So to increase,
you exceed the standard,
decrease the time that you get there, or increase your standing in the standard, just mathematically, it would take a lot of money to move up if you're already in the standard.
Yeah, it's not money, it's people.
It's people.
It's for us, it's having more people on the north end and the south end and the west side who can respond to those stations. The geography of our membership is central to town. Fortunately, most of a higher number of our calls are also in that same area. But it takes 14 minutes to 17 minutes to get someone out to the north end or the west side. We have more people on the north end on a regular basis, then our response times could improve further.
So I just don't want the public to get the feeling that we're below the standard.
No, response times are not
our response times
issue.
Are standard within rural districts.
Yes.
And we're looking to increase that. Or decrease the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that we looked at increasing our response time was is we had we have paid people sit in the station house so that we can get an engine out of the door quicker. It's we've got engines sitting throughout the county, but it's a matter of personnel to get to that engine.
And that's one of the things, actually decrease the response times, right, Bob? But that EMS has considered here for, well, in the context of contract negotiations. negotiations that are paramedics in-house, staging in-house, and that certainly will enhance response times, particularly as Chief Martin mentioned earlier, if we can somehow utilize the six substations that Fire District Number 3 uses to date. Whether or not that is possible, you know, it's something that has a potential, and if we can diminish response times, obviously that's a major plus for our community.